Marissa Torah on page Samach Beis, Perek Yud, Sif Yud Beis. Continuing to talk about the sometimes discouraging feelings that a person has when he's trying to learn Razei Torah, Pnimius HaTorah. So we're talking about, we were learning last week, these few Seifim on this Inyan. Really, it's a continuation of Yud Aleph. K'she'oyskim b'limud nistaras b'loy beya. When a person is learning nistaras, b'loy beya means he doesn't fully understand what is it that he's learning. He understands some, but he doesn't understand, he doesn't get the whole thing. Of a belave toiv v'neman. As we learned last week, a belave toiv v'neman. He's not learning this in order to be able to be smart or to have something to say, or because in some other way it adds to his hashkofes. He's learning belave toiv v'neman to be able to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and because he believes in all that we've been learning about what Pnimius HaTorah does for a person, what Pnimius HaTorah, how important it is in our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's always the condition. So Rav Kook gives a marshal, and he says, Doimili Ridas Gishama Yidei Anonim. Doimili Ridas Gishama Yidei Anonim. And it's like a very rainy day. It's like a rainy day, a very cloudy and rainy day. Regarding which the Gemara says, Kosha Yerma de Mitra ki Yerma de Dina. Yerma de Mitra, when it's a real rainy day. And where we live, we have paved roads, and even then it could become messy, but those who have been in little places, Shtetlach, and where things are still not so modernized. A Yerma de Mitra, the Gemara says, is Ki Yerma de Dina. It's like a Yerma Hadin. The mess and the difficulty to get through. It's very, very hard to walk. So if Cook compares the person who's trying to make his way through Nistaras, through Pnimius HaTorah, to Yerida's Gesham, to a rainy day, in Koshiyam de Mitchell, Kiyam de Dina. The Pshas Maisa, when you're in that matzav of the miserable weather, of the rainy day, so it's very, very hard. Aval Achakach, but afterwards, Godl hu shefa habracha yoytem izah. But afterwards, when the clouds disperse and the sun comes out, there's no bigger bracha. The whole earth is filled with bracha. Aval achakach godl hu shefa habracha yoytem izah. Afterwards, the tremendous, tremendous bracha. The chachma, of course, is to believe in that while you're sitting in the puddle, you know, in the rain, in the mud, that afterwards there's going to be a big bracha from this. Achakach, Godl Hoshefa HaBracha Yoytzim, a tremendous bracha that comes from this. Rishemesh Tzedakah Zarachas, and the sun of Tzedakah, of righteousness, shines. When the sun comes out, the clouds clear. As it says in the Baruch of Yosef HaTzadik, Mi Megid Tvuois Shamesh, Mi Megid Gerish Yerachim. With the bounty of the sun's crops, with the bounty of the moon's yield. And as always, I believe that the Pasuk of Kook has chosen, because there are many Pesukim Tanakh that could have conveyed this message of of working your way through the hard stuff, and then afterwards it's going to bear fruit. But over here, it's Megid Tvei Shamash and Megid Geish Yerachim. Maybe what Rav Kook is saying is that in our learning, there's Shemesh and Yireach. And Shemesh Yireach means that with the bounty of the sun's crops, when the sun is shining, meaning when our minds are clear and we understand, then obviously that at the time that you experience that, that's wonderful when something is understood, when the sun is shining in your mind, if that and that concept is clear, that's wonderful. But then there's also Nimeged Gerish Yerachim, the bounty of the moon's yield. We don't normally associate the yield of the earth with the moon. The moon is at night when there's a hester, when there's a covering of light, when it's not clear. And yet the Torah says a brocha of Nimeged Tvuhei Shamesh, Nimeged Gerish Yerachim. Nimeged Gerish Yerachim. With the bounty of the sun's crops, with the bounty of the moon's yield. One should understand, and one should believe, that there is a bounty, there is a great bracha that comes from working one's way through the night also. Mimeged Gerish Yerachim. So the mashal that Rav Kook gives, that it's hard, a person sometimes feels like, forget it, I'm not really getting much out of this. So one of the main problems that people have when they're learning Nistaras, since we're very practical people, and especially that's a big thing now, is everything has to have right away. It has to have right away results. I was with somebody who had his little computer, and I asked him something. He wanted to get some information on his computer, and maybe a second to it passed, and he started to apologize. He said, "I'm sorry, it's very slow. I have to get a new one." Mm-hmm. And I thought it was okay. I mean, it was like, I don't know, 3 seconds or something. It was till it popped up on the thing. He was checking on some mice at some organization, the phone number or something, and it just took like 3 seconds. But he said, he was shaking. He says, "This is, I'm so sorry. This is like terrible. It's just terrible." It's like in the old days, that would have taken a half hour to, and a lot of phone calls to other people to get. It took him 3 seconds. He's upset because the other guy takes 1 second. So he has a 3 second machine. It's already over a bottle. He has to get updated, you know, a new machine or something. So everybody wants to have the bounty of the sun's crops right away. And everybody who likes to have things growing, except they prefer not to have rainy days. The rainy days are unpleasant. And what Rav Kook says is that sticking to that limud, even though at the time you don't see that it's, well, you don't see what it's producing. I don't see that this is producing. Like, imagine a person, some shaita that stands there in the rain, some guy he was never a farmer, and he bought a farm, and he stands there. And it's raining, and he's looking around, he says, "I don't see anything growing over here." He stands there in the rain, he's looking, "What's growing? Nothing's happening. I heard that rain is the biggest thing. And we daven, there should be rain, everything should grow." He says, "It's raining here for 2 hours. I don't see anything getting taller. I don't see anything opening up. Any of the corn or any of the wheat, everything's the same." So you say, "Well, you're shite. That's not how." The day of rain, the Yom HaDimitra itself, is not always easy. It's hard, and you have to keep on going, and once the clouds disperse and the sun comes out, so then you realize that it's not just suddenly something happened when the sun came out. It's the Gerish Yerachim. It's the bounty of the moon's yield. Of the time that you spent trying to understand and trying to work it through, that something was happening inside also. There was rain. There was something that was going on. Yarev Kamota Lichi Tizal Yizal Katalim Rossi, that there was something happening inside, and like we learned last week, and then at some point, like he ended the list, say if you lamayin shimani akiru kol an nechalim the yainim b'chol hadram begadlam, you know, you don't understand the shas ma'isa, and it doesn't seem to fit together and to make sense, but the crops that it yields afterwards are filled with bracha, filled with bracha. That's with everything in life is like that. Not to become discouraged at being misyayish when it's a rainy day. Yud Gimel. Hamanias me'ezet siyur al shkedes atayru. Sometimes a person feels that it's hard for him to concentrate on his learning. It's hard for him to concentrate. It's hard for him to focus on his learning. But the mani is coming from a different kind of place. It's not because of distractions. It's not because he's not interested in the Gemara or whatever else he's doing. It's not because of that. This is a different kind of maniya. The reason for this distraction, for this difficulty in Shkedas HaTayr, in Hasmada, is Shabos Machmas Taharas HaNeshama V'Ga'agu'ehal L'Tziyurim Ruchaniyim Elyayinim. It comes because of the pureness of this soul that's filled with a great longing for great exalted concepts of Ruchnius. Rav Kook himself often, the word is not suffered, but often went through this, that he describes, and we have even a poem or two that describe how hard it was for him to be able to return to the sugyas in the Gemara and to get back to his writing tshuvas and halacha and to stay focused, because he was filled with such gaguim for tziyurim ruchaniyim elyonim, for great, for high, big things in ruchnias. So this too can be a cause of discouragement, that a person wants to be able to have both. He would like to be able to be successful in learning Nigla, on the regular learning of the Gemara and Halacha, and so on. And he would also like to connect very deeply to Pnimis HaTorah. But he is finding that the Pnimis HaTorah has a way of sort of encroaching upon the Nigla. It's hard to bring himself back down to the sugyas when he's flying in outer space. He's all excited about what he's learning in Pnimius. It's hard to get back to the sugyas in Nigla. And because of that, he feels that this is a mania. This is some obstacle. And I'm not as focused as I used to be, and I should be. And I'm not as successful in my learning of Nigla as I used to be. And the cause of this is that I'm very caught up in my learning of Pnimius HaTorah. And it's a very, very hard thing. I've said this over the years a few times, Berabim, to the Chevra, that many, many years ago when I started to learn Lakuta Maran for the first time, I couldn't open anything else. I couldn't look at anything else. I didn't want to learn anything else. I mean, I knew I had to. I just couldn't bring myself to do it. I kept the Lukut Maran on the table, and then I would go back to my Gemara, and then I would start to pull Lukut Maran closer, you know, and then I would hold my hand in the Gemara on the spot, and I couldn't go back. And it became a serious problem. I had Agmas Nefesh over that. And I went to Yerushalayim. I went to Yerushalayim during that winter, and I went and I spoke to a few tzaddikim who are very, very big bekim in Likutei Moran to talk to them about this inyan. It was very, very hard. You're talking about the Rebbe Yerushalayim in a very clear and open way. Not through clouds. Here the sun is shining. The sun of Elokus is shining. It's pouring into your life without any levushim, just straight sunlight. And then to go back into the sugyas, remember that Chazal themselves say, "B'machashakim hayshivani, kimesei olam," is Talmud Bavli. As the Gemara is called, dark places. These parishes that we're now in, Tazir Mitzayr, Chazal called them parishes Shchayrus Ka'orev, black parishes. When you learn, if you learn these parishes of Tazir Mitzayr, there's a lot of unpleasant stuff. If you ever get like the Mishnayos Nagoyim with the pictures, not something that it helps your appetite. It's parishes Shchayrus. They're called parishes Shchayrus Ka'orev. They're dark. Black parashis. That's all kinds of machlas and strange things. We don't even know what they are. The Rambam says, other Rishonim say, we don't even know what this is. And we're trying to look over this, and this kind of the heresy of Sapachas, what is this? What are these niggas? But we know that it's something which is not good. And then if it's not aggravating enough that it's growing on you, then you have it on your walls. It's crawling over your life, your clothing, your walls. We don't know what it is, Bechlau. Then you try to understand, and you look at these parashiyas and all the tumas and so on that the parashiyas are talking about. So it's very hard. Bechlau, Nigla is called Mahashakim Hashivani, Kimesa Oilon. There's a certain darkness in those alleyways of Nigla. But talking about inyanim and all kinds of sibuchim, all kinds of complications of things in this world, and then you're learning nistaris, you're learning pnimis haTorah, it's hard, but it's shining and it's not with the complications, it's all about the Ribbono Shel Olam. Everything when we're learning in nigla is Rav Chazyonis. It's a lot, and we're trying to find HaKadosh Baruch and all of these things. But when you're learning Pnimis HaTorah, Hincha Echad B'chol Dimyonis. Everything about Pnimis HaTorah is Echad, is Echad, Echad, Echad. Everything is Echad, Echad. Everything is Elokus, everything is Echad. And when you're learning Nigla, even though it's called Nigla, revealed Torah, it's dealing with matters that are open and revealed. But Hashem is Nister in the Nigla. And even though Nister is, the Pnimis HaTorah is called Nister, but in Nister, Hashem is Nigla. Hashem is revealed more openly in Nister. So if a person wants to have a connection to the Bari Olam, it's very common that he can't close the Likutei Moran or whatever other sefer it is that he's connecting to. It's hard for him to close the Likutei Moran and to go back to Tazria Mitzayra. Then he tries to have a compromise to hear, what does Rabbi Nachman say about Tazria Mitzayra? So they made all these sperm now that you can find what Rabbi Nachman says about the whole third term of Likutei Moran is on that Indian. On the Indian of song of Nagina, and the birds in Parshas Mitzayra. And the person wants to go back. So you find yourself trying to finish up the Gemara, you have a certain sight, so you can get back to your true love. So it's hard, it's a Maniyah. So Rav Kook, that's what Rav Kook is talking about. Hamanias mezit tzir shkedes tzir shabos machmes taharis haneshama v'gaguel tzir ruchani melyayinim. Not because the person's lazy, not because he wants to go back to his video or something, to some silliness. It's because he misses the tziyur ruchani melyayinim that he is enjoying when he's learning pnimis haTorah. And he feels that he's in a bad situation, that it's bittul Torah, that his learning of pnimius is causing bittul Torah in his life. It's causing bittul Torah. So Rav Kook says, try to imagine how this next sentence would upset so many people. He says, "Ein bechlal bittul minyus haTorah." It's not bittul Torah. Ein bechlal bittul minyus haTorah. It's not bittul minyus haTorah. Just like the rainy day and the mud is not a bittul of the crops. It's the watering of the crops. It's the chiyus of the crops. This also is not a bittul minyus haTorah. Ki im darge ilo lalois al yodo lishkedosu shatara ha'al yoyna. It's not built to Torah at all. As a matter of fact, he says it's a hechatimtze, it's a means by which you're going to be elevated to a higher level of understanding Torah, of learning pnimius haTorah, of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and ultimately your understanding of nigla as well. Kim dargi ilo alalu zayyadu l'shkidosu shal Torah ha'alyayna. It's a hechatimtze, it's a way by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is helping you to elevate your limud haTorah, to come to a higher madrega, Lishkedosa, to become more connected to Torah Halyon, to the higher level of Torah, to Pnimius HaTorah. So a person can go through phases like that. Rav Kook is not suggesting, Chas V'Shalom, nor did he do that in his own life, to close the Gemara. But the most neglected limud is the limud of Pnimius. And the most neglected part of our lives is our relationship with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, Cook said, well, one should not worry about this if you're going through something like this. And you don't have to fight against it. Shatai the Eitz that the Tzaddikim told me, maybe I left that unfinished. I went to speak to Tzaddikim about it. The Eitz that I got from three Tzaddikim, who did not speak to each other. They didn't have like a conference what we can do with Weinberger. I went to meet each one. The answer that I got was not at all to be upset about it, not to worry about it, b'chlal, and to make sure to be kaveya every day during this tkufa that I was going through, to be kaveya at least an hour, one said 2 hours, an hour, 2 hours, to learn either Aruch HaShulchan or Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Two of them said to learn Shulchan Aruch HaRav, and one said to learn Aruch HaShulchan during that time. That was the eighth thing. And in other words, not to worry with the Gemara, we'll come back to it. But for now, to learn Aruch HaShulchan, Shulchan Aruch HaRav. And these are tkufas that a person goes through. Obviously, if there's something that Chas V'Shalom goes more extreme and it's unhealthy, that needs further tipul, that needs to be addressed. Rav Kook is saying, this is not anything to worry about. He says, other Rabbi. And I found out with myself as well, that I spent, once I was relieved of that guilt, and I wasn't so nervous anymore, then I didn't have to always hold my hand, you know, for that time in the Gemara, and look like half-heartedly, a little bit look at the Moran, opening back and forth, and not getting much of what's going on in either Sefer. And I put myself very, very, very strongly at that time, look at the Moran for a time. And that's what the tzaddikim told me to do. But at the same time, to make sure, no matter what chayv layava, not to let go. Except that this, the union of the eitz of Aruch HaShulchan, Rav Shulchan Aruch, was that it's very, very hard. Because when the Gemara, as I said before, is b'machashakim hayshivani, because of the darkness of the sugyas, meaning that there's so many sibuchim, so many circles that you have to go and run through a sugya. So the eitz is to be very, very strongly connected to halacha. To halacha. And when you learn Aruch HaShulchan, Shulchan Acharav, there's a tremendous behirus in the halacha. In those two svarim, more than other svarim, there's the clarity, the behirus is very, very clear. The Aruch HaShulchan itself is basically a presentation of the halacha through the eyes of the sugyas. It comes out in such a way. I mean, b'chlal, the limud, I don't know how many of you are Aruch HaShulchan fans, but if you've never done that, it's something that's kedai, it's definitely kedai to look into. The Aruch HaShulchan is an unbelievable limud. But one shouldn't be discouraged. Again, the same way that when it's a time of rain, so that itself is going to bring fruit. It's going to bear fruit. Kemidas Rabbi Yechim ben Zakkai, Shalim Atso Adam Yoshev Adoimen, Eli Yoshev Ishaina, Afa Pisha Yosu Gadova Godel. Which was the midah of Rabbi Yechim ben Zakkai, who nobody ever found him, Shalim Atso Adam Yoshev Adoimen. He was always learning. He was never sitting in silence. Daimem means like something that's inanimate. Silence. Vayidam Aaron. Nobody ever found Rabbi Yechim Zakkai wasting his time. Didn't come out from Rabbi Yechim Zakkai any bittul Torah. Afa Pishaya Osig B'Dov HaGadol. Even though Chazal tell us there, we know that Rabbi Yechim Zakkai was Osig B'Dov HaGadol. Shumaisim Akava, that he was Isaac in the biggest Indian in Nister, in Kabbalah, in Panimi Satara, which is what? The Maisim Akava, the chariot in the vision of Yechezkel Navi. And the same person, the Gemara says, Shleimetzo Adam Yoshev Adoimen. All of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai's Isaac in Maisim Akava did not bring into the world a batlan by the name of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. It brought Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was baki in everything, like Chazal say. Even the conversations of the birds, when they were talking, when they chirped, he understood everything. All the animals and the birds, he understood everything. Shahadum yaba chudav shal hechech. Dumya means silence. And by the Ma'aseh Merkava, when you're learning these things, there's always, like we learned last week, there's always more that you don't know than what you know. And the Dumya Bohu Dover Shel Hechrich, and because of the greatness of that inyan and the depth of that inyan, even the greatest minds come to a point where there's silence, where there's dumya, where there's something that it's incomprehensible. It's a davar shel hechrich that has to be. A person can walk away from the Gemara feeling, I mamish understood the Gemara, and mamish understood, and he feels very good, as he should. But when you walk away from Pnimis HaTorah, as exciting as it is, the feeling is always that I didn't get it. see, when you're learning the Gemara, and then like, you know, you check it with the art scroll to see if you got it right, assuming that the fellows that did that always get it right. So you check with the art scroll, or however other way you check, you ask your Rebbe, and you're all excited, that's the pshat in the Gemara. The truth is, of course, that there's infinite depth to that as well. But as long as you understand the Gemara, you feel good. That's what the Gemara says. That's what it means. That's the pshat in the Gemara. Fine. That's the pshat in the Gemara. The pshat in the Gemara, you understand. When it comes to Nistar, it's hard to have that satisfaction because you know that you're talking about Ein Sof, infinite, the one that's infinite. And because of that, it always leaves you speechless. Both mitzad the greatness and the excitement, and mitzad the feeling of being baffled and overwhelmed. Which, when you're learning the Gemara, you might not feel that way. You feel that you know everything. That's a problem. Because there's the Gemara, of course, the nigla of the Gemara, every single word of the nigla of the Gemara has depth and depth, deeper, 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 goes all the way and connects to the Nistar. That's what the Chidos says in Tvash Lepi. That pshat is the oisius tipesh. You know what tipesh is? A fool. The Chidos says that. What's the tipshus? The tipshus is when you settle for the pashtus. You're tipish if you think that you know that that's all that you have in your life is the pshat. You're tipish, he says. If you're satisfied with the pshat of Yiddishkeit, if you're satisfied with the pshat of the Gemara, he said you're tipish. You're a fool. It doesn't end. So there's dumya, there's silence. And still the Gemara says about Yochanan Zakeh, Shalom Mitzvah Adam Yoshev Adoyman. Nobody ever saw him sitting silently. He was constantly learning. So you might think that Rabbi Yochanan Zakeh's involvement with the Ma'aseh Merkava, with Kabbalah and big things, Pnimis HaTaira, Rosei Taira, would have caused him to come to a place of Bittul Taira, which silenced the voice of his learning. So Chazal say, Rabbi Yochanan Zakeh Shalei Mitzvah Adam Yoshev Adoyman. Let me tell the Melchizedek that no, other rather, there's more and more and more. El Yosef Vishaina, constantly learning. Afalpi, even though he was learning Davagolashu, Maisi Makavish, Adumi Bohu, Davishal Hecha, even though he was learning so much Nistar, and by Nistar, one is silenced by the Nistar. Nevertheless, he was always Yosef Vishaina. It's not a contradiction. Mikol Mokem Hashkeidon Hainavas Mi Oimek Hayedia Uberura Himis Gaberus Alkol. The Shkeida meaning the Hasmoda. The Hasmoda. Hashkeida Hanavas that Shkeida, that Hasmoda that comes Mi Oimek Hayedia from the depths of one's knowing. From the depths of one's knowing the Rabbanu Shalom. Uberura and clarifying and understanding. Himis Gaberus Alkol. It takes over everything. In the end, it wins over everything. So it doesn't cause less learning. Those people that you have, even you have some Talmid Chacham that say that you can't have in the yeshivas, you can't introduce into the yeshivas any limudim of emunah. I'm not talking about some 15-minute Mesil Zesharim say that when the guy's already, the guy has one foot out of the Beis Medrash. I don't know. Baruch HaTorah D'mori L'machom Shalkom. But there are places that are still, these are the last holdouts, that are resisting any introduction into the curriculum of the yeshiva, that there should be something of pnimius. So let's say we have a 15 minutes Musa Seder. Well, like my son said, the Erev Shabbos, there was supposed to be something on the parasha, and the Rebbe, it was the same shmuz he heard hundreds of times, was that you have to learn more. That was the same shmuz, that everything is with learning more. So to introduce some pnimius, there's fear. This is not a recent problem. This is going back many, 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 many years. There was resistance, as I'm sure that you know, not just the Chassidus, but the Musar as well. There's a tremendous isnagdus to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter and to Musar. Which now, you think that anybody doesn't learn Musar, doesn't hold from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter at the time, and even before the war in Europe, there was a big milchama going on. In the yeshivas, it's well documented and well known what was going on. And if you look back to see what was happening in Slobodka and the two camps in Slobodka, not everybody was with the Alta. And this was a big milchama, where the Rabbi Yisrael Salanter and the tzaddikim, his talmidim, the talmidim of his talmidim, wanted that every day there should be a serious seder and learning Musar b'spilus. Strong, strong, strong Musar. And there was a fear on the part of many great people that this was going to take away from the learning of Gemara. This was going to cause a distraction from the learning of Gemara. But it's not just by the Chassidim and the Misnagdim. It was within the world of the yeshivas itself. There was a tremendous Misnagdim. There still are traces of that now. It's very different. Since after the war, things changed a lot. But before the war, the yeshivas where you weren't allowed to open up a Musa Sefer. If you wanted to learn something in Musa, you had to do it when no one saw you, in your room or somewhere where you lived, the basement. You couldn't open up in the yeshiva. It was such a hisnagdus. And Rabbi Yochum fought against that, and Rabbi Chaskel fought against that. And the Talmidim who survived, they themselves, Rabbi Yochum died, of course, before the Muhammad, but then Rabbi Chaskel came to Eretz Yisrael. If not for Rabbi Chaskel Levenstein, it's hard to know what would have been without Rabbi Chaskel. But there was a hisnagdus, risk. Chalal, the Chazanish, it's a hisnagdus. It's going to cause a decrease in the level of shkeda, of learning, in the yeshiva. And the tzaddikim from the Bali Musa, they were crying that, no, it's going to have the opposite effect. Like the famous story that they say from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, where somebody came to Rabbi Yisrael and said, Rabbi, yes, I only have a half hour to learn. That's all I have a day. He's a business person. Whatever, I have only half hour a day to learn. Should I learn Musa or should I learn Gemara? So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, you should learn Musa, because then you'll realize that you have much more than a half hour a day to learn. You'll realize that, of course, you have more than a half hour. You're in a very shallow place. People who are in a shallow place, they always say, I don't have time. I can't, I don't know that. My life is not like that. But if you take time and you learn Pnimius, so then you realize that you have more than a half hour. So that's what Cook is saying, is that you don't have to worry about this. Again, he's not talking about something which is extreme, the person's not going back to learning. But if it's done in a healthy way with Hadracha, then not only will it not take away from the learning, it will increase the level of learning. And it will increase the behus, the understanding of what he's learning even in Nigla. And of course, his excitement over being a Jew. That goes without saying. That's what we've been talking about the whole time. His excitement and his ratzon to learn. His lishma in learning becomes much stronger. And his connecting to Kadosh Baruch Hu and all that he learns becomes much, much stronger. So in the end, he'll become a bigger masmid. And not to worry. You dial it. Misha koshlo ilimad pratim udvarim giluyim, a person for whom it's difficult to learn all of the little details. I mean the big details, but the details of nigla. It's odd. It gets him crazy. Tysus is making him crazy. Koshlo ilimad pratim udvarim giluyim. Person gets all excited. I'm going to learn Hilchos Shabbos. I really want to learn Hilchos Shabbos. That's like 15 minutes, and then he starts, and he goes 15 minutes, and he sees, he's trying to learn, you know, Boira, and he goes into 15 minutes, and he sees, wow, what's going on over here? He was just hoping for a couple to do this, don't do that. This is mutter, that's aser. And it's mutter, but unless, A, these are the conditions, it's mutter. It's only mutter if you have conditions, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K. And even in those conditions, some of those conditions are l'chadchila, some of them are drabbanan. Some it's only, some is deraisa, some is drabbanan. And it's a person, some people, it's very, very hard for them to do that. Misha kashal alumad pratim advarim galuyim. We're talking about that from the beginning of the sefer. When they chukas over here, it's because here it's not because, again, not because of laziness, and not because of any lack of intelligence, but it's when they chukas hal yoin lechlalim advarim nistar. It's because of his longing for the bigger picture, like we're learning in Oseh Tshuva, the chutzpah of our generation, because this generation wants the big picture. The generation is screaming for that, to understand what's the whole truth, the whole thing. I want to understand the whole thing. So you tell him, and it's a chiluk between this kind of muktzah, that kind of muktzah. He says, I don't know this muktzah, that muktzah. I want to know why I'm Jewish. If I know why I'm Jewish, then I'll be careful with muktzah. I don't know why I'm Jewish at all. I don't know what it means to be Jewish. So if Cook wrote about it, we learned to know it's not true, but the chutzpah of this generation that the Chazal said would be at the end of time, and the chutzpah doesn't come from a bad place, and it's not coming from a midrash. It's coming from that insistence on knowing what's going on. I want to understand. I want to understand. Anybody that's been a teacher or a rebbe knows that you'll have talmidim. There are talmidim that ask questions. There are some of those that they're asking questions in order to know. There are some of those that are asking questions because they're nudniks. You know what it means, a nudnik? You know what a nudnik is. They're a nudnikim. God should bless them. They're usually the sweetest Jews, but they're nudniks. They start making you crazy. It's not to really know. It's to tell you what they know. But to stand to draw your cup. Every Rebbe has that. Every teacher knows. Not even if it's not in Kodesh. Even if it's in Chol. Except in Kodesh, it gets more complicated. Because, for a lot of reasons, it's more complicated in Kodesh than in Chol. But you have a person that's asking. Because he really wants to know. For that person, you have to have infinite patience. And it's hard. Because the Lashon also sounds a little bit like a nudnik. He doesn't let you off the hook. He asks you, something. But then you have to stand the nudniks that they're Jacobs, everything. You have to try to have patience with them too. A rabbi, a teacher. Sometimes you have children in your own house that are like little nudnikin. I have one of my grandchildren, he's the sweetest. He says, so I have different nicknames for him. See, I call him this, a different nickname. So he says, and he says to me, I also have a nickname that's called Question. Because he knows that from the second that I'm with him, he asks me 1,000 questions. He's asking me 1,000 questions. He's such a cute little nudnik. But he wants to know. He's a child. He's not trying to impress. He wants to know. But every second he asks me this, but Zadie this, and this Zadie this, a million questions. And a lot of them are good questions. This generation is a generation that's filled with nudniks. But the nudnikim of our generation, a lot of them are not the kind that are stop making trouble. For those you have to answer very quickly to try to get away. But for the ones that are ones that the emes want the whole truth, they want to know. They want to know. There was a guy when I was in yeshiva, when we were in yeshiva together in high school. He was a Kohen. I haven't seen him in a long time. I heard about him. He was in Eretz Yisrael for a while, and I heard that he lives in Borough Park. I haven't seen him. This guy never let the Rebbe go. He had, and he's not a strong, not very strong seichel. It's a little bit of a shvacha cup. Not so strong. But the Midas Ha'emes in this kid was unbelievable. The Midas Ha'emes in him was unbelievable. And I remember sometimes they would just say, Genug Scheinach, Genug Scheinach, I can't take you anymore, it's enough. he used to, like everybody else was satisfied with it. With it. And he always said, but they had kashas and the kashas most of them. But he wasn't, he was from that type that wanted the truth. What became of this guy? I've been told by a few of our old friends that I've met over the years that he was an Eretz Yisrael for a long time. He's a big Talmid Chacham. He's a big Talmid Chacham. That's why I haven't seen him, but I heard he's a big Talmid Chacham. The bikush, the emes, for truth, and that boy, I mean, it made us, we're all upset about it, because you could never move on with anything. He was always hacking the Rebbe. But it wasn't because he wanted to show off, and even though it was embarrassing to him, he would ask. He wasn't a bishon in that way. This generation has a lot of that. There's a lot of that. And because of that, Rav Kook said, and we learned in Eretz HaTshuva, there's not always a strong tolerance for all of the details, because there's a desire to get to the punchline. The punchline is the Ribono Shel Olam. That's the punchline. The Ribono Shel Olam. That's the tachlis. So it's hard. They don't want to spend so much time in the, you know, with all the trees. They want to have the forest. We spent a lot of time talking about this in Eretz HaTshuva. But Nechukasai, Misha Kashla, Lumad Pratim, Advaram Galuyim. These are, even that I like this a lot, again, I'm not talking about someone who's lazy. That's something else. Not talking about, we're talking about Chashuva people here. Misha Kashla, Lumad Pratim, Advaram Galuyim. And it's for the right, and it's because, not because of laziness. And not because he's stand, doesn't have a cut. But because he's filled with such a longing to get the whole thing and to learn Pnimius, Dvarim Nistarim, to know what's going on. What is this? To know the truth, the Emes. Afal pishes zahakoishi bamitoch mailas on the shama. So if Cook warns over here that even though this difficulty that he feels with getting involved in the details of Torah comes because of the mile of his neshama, because he has a very great and exalted soul, and the neshama it wants to connect to the everything, and therefore it's hard to connect to the little thing. He wants the everything. You call Malcolm, nevertheless, Rav Cook warns. Has to be careful. The komakam sarachel has gaber gam al maniyah zu. He has to overcome that maniyah. He has to force himself, not, God forbid, to disconnect from the pratim of Torah. That's very dangerous. Komakam sarachel has gaber gam al maniyah zu. Ubehayoy se kaife yetzaharik hazeh, and when he suppresses this kind of a Yetzirah, this is a very holy Yetzirah. It's a Choshev Yetzirah. Not talking about a Yetzirah for something bad. And it doesn't come from a bad place, it comes from a good place. This Yetzirah comes from a Maila El Yoyna, from something very great. From the fact that he has, like in our generation, these Neshamas of Mashiach. These neshamas of Yemais HaMashiach. We're living in a time of Yemais HaMashiach. And there are big neshamas of Yemais HaMashiach, and they want nishmas kol ha-neshamas. They want nishmas kol chai. And they're having a hard time staying focused. Whereas by our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, when it came to the Pratim of Torah, it was the most natural thing to keep their finger on the place and to sit in our generation. There are other reasons, but the deepest reason is because we're holding by Mashiach. And by Mashiach is the union of is everything. Of the big, big, big klal of everything. So the neshamas of the generation of Mashiach are having a hard time concentrating on the pratim. It's like a person, forgive me for a silly marshal, but it's like a person who is Michigan in love with somebody, Michigan in love, and gets a letter from that person. I know there are no such things anymore as letters, in that. But let's say the way it used to be. So the person's meshigin in love and gets a letter from the one that he loves. And the letter has in it protopratum of things that are going on in life and different things with Lagabi school and panos, whatever, all kinds of things. It's a long letter, it's a couple of pages. And he reads the whole thing. But there are only two words in the whole letter that he keeps on coming back to. The first one where it says dear, and at the end where it says love. Yeah? Everything in between is Meichel. He's Meichel. But all he wants is really to have that dear and love. That's all. There are people that are chalishing for that in our generation more than ever before. And it affects life in many, 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 many ways. There are many disappointed and hurt and broken people and relationships and with people and with husbands and wives and this and Hashem's Baruch and children that with their parents, all kinds of stuff. But it comes from the generation before Mashiach wants desperately to connect to the dear and to the love. But the stuff in between, it's hard to concentrate. And it's easy to forget. But one has to read the whole letter. Or else you don't know what's going on. And over time, the connection is lost. It comes from a mile el yoina. Kaifu who is midas adin b'shar shoha el yoin, he holds back. Holding back is always the nin of din, right? Holding back is din. He holds himself back. And he focuses on the letter. So notice he's holding himself back. That holding back, which is the inyan of din, but the emes is through him being kaifas midas adin b'shar shoh ha'elyon, by being kaif for the midas adin b'shar shoh ha'elyon, on the highest root of din, of course, is chesed. Everything comes from Hashem's love, and all the protim that we're learning all comes from Hashem's love too. It's all part of the dear and the love. It's just it's not as obvious. When the person holds back and he forces himself to stay focused also on the pratim, on the details of the letter, that unleashes into the world an unbelievable outpouring of chesed v'rachmim el yainim. Because there's mamtik the dinim b'sharshim, I can't go into what that means in Kabbalah, but there's a hamtokis ha-dinim of the person doing this, holding himself back from his true love, that inyan was able to bring out into the world tremendous love. That he brings into the world through holding himself back, staying in the Gemara and putting the Likud Moran on the side, and being able to continue with what he has to do. All big things of chesed, rachim, el yoinim. Shem mezgalim l'chabriyah, that is mezgal, that's revealed to all that exists because of this person's efforts to be focused on the letter. And all of this chesed, rachim, is l'sameach, is kol ha'masa. It brings joy to all that exists. And it brings salvation for all those who are oppressed and downtrodden. And by him doing this, he's opening up the gates of tshuva to all those Jews who are far away and who have given up hope. Or Messiah, can imagine. So the person doing this, and every time that the person concentrates on this, and he thinks, but he thinks this thought, that I'm going to stay focused, I'm going to be careful to learn what I have to in halacha, in gemara, in nigla, and all the prati pratim in my learning, in my observing, even though the person himself has this cheshek to let go and to open up everything, by the person doing that and staying in that place, he's mamtik, he's sweetening the dinim in the root and source of all the dinim, of all the pratim, which is Hashem's infinite love. And in doing so, while he's sitting there trying to understand that pshat in Rashi, he's opening up the whole world. And he's sending down Hashem's brachas into the world. and even those Jews whose hearts are not opened and they're far away from Hashem, Rav Kook says, Liftorach Shari Tshuva L'chal Rechaikim Mi'oshem, that there are people that you'll never meet in your life that all of a sudden have this thought, maybe I could become a better Jew. So you're sitting there and doing that. You open that up in the hearts of people that you'll never know, that you'll never meet. And you bring all kinds of simch into the world and all kinds of yeshuas for people who are going through tzaras. Through what? Through being mezgaber on this netiyah that the person has to give up the pratim, to give up all of the dinim. By him staying with the dinim and sweetening that experience of being dovuk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the dinim, he brings to a sweetening of all judgments, and doors open and dinim are removed, and the mesikus of Hashem's love pours into the world, and hearts of Jews are opened, and people who needed a Yeshua have all kinds of Yeshuas. It's kedai. It's a good thing. We should be zayche to do that for others, and for others to do it for us. Good Shabbos.